Thank you, Zach. That was awesome. Now I see why your mother loves that so much. That was a pretty piece. Glory to God. As I was planning for Mother's Day, I was reflecting, just looking back at my mother, my grandmothers, and all the mothers that are in my family. And I was realizing, the Lord was showing me that mothers, godly mothers, are women of faith. They're the women of faith, and they have to live by faith because of all that they do. And so I titled our message today, A Mother's Faith. We talk about a mother's love all the time on Mother's Day because mothers are very loving. I've said this, Patsy was always much better at taking care of our children and loving them than I was. She nurtured them. She was just, she was on it. I wasn't made to be a mother. I didn't treat our children the same way that Patsy did. And I've noticed that as we've come down through time, that the things that my mother did were passed down to Patsy, and the things that she has done, the faith that she has been passed down to Jamie and to Brittany. And I love seeing the progression of a woman's faith. You know, how they, as they're raising children, as they're taking care of us men, they learn to trust God. They learn to put their faith in God. And then has passed on down from them then to their children. I noticed that Lexi and Chloe also have that faith that it takes to walk with God and to raise their family in the Lord. So we're going to be looking at some scriptures that show us a couple of women in the Bible that have faith. They trusted God in some way or another, and so we're going to be looking at them today. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for our godly mothers. It's just, I love it that we have a day that we can honor them, Father, and we lift them to you today. Father, that you will bless them and keep them, that you'll make your face shine upon them and be gracious unto them. Turn your face toward them and give them peace. Hallelujah. Father, we're so thankful for our godly mothers, for just the way they trust you, the way they put their faith in you and raise their families to do the same. Father, it's just a joy to watch and to see the things that you're doing here at Open Arms. Father, as we look at your word today, I pray that you'll put the words in my mouth, Lord. Give me wisdom and knowledge to know what you want me to say. Father, give us ears to hear as a church. In Jesus' name, amen. I actually want to start in Ephesians today. This is geared a little bit more to us men, as a way to treat our godly wives. So, if you will, turn to Ephesians chapter 5 with me. I want to begin in 25 of chapter 5. There we go. Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her, to make her a holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. He says, I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. I just want to go on down through the first verse, four verses here in chapter 6. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So this is talking to us fathers. And I noticed that not only did I take that responsibility as a father, but Patsy took it as a mother to train up our children in the Lord. It's just, as I've watched the women in my family grow and become women of faith, it's been interesting. It's been fun to see. It took a lot of tests for Patsy and I to grow and to learn that we can trust God completely, but it's a growing thing. It's a thing that takes time. It's a thing that you don't just get overnight. But as I said, I'm going to go to two examples of godly mothers. The first one I picked this morning is Moses' mother. If you think about what she went through when Moses was born, and how she took Moses and put him in the little basket in the river. She had some faith to be able to do that. Or God told her specifically, do this, because let's just go there. Let's go to Exodus chapter 1. And we're going to begin in verse 15 of Exodus chapter 1. So the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives. So this is the time when the Israelites were in Egypt. They were being persecuted and made slave laborers out of them. They were working hard, doing what they were supposed to do, and the king realized that he needed to stop their growth, or they were going to outgrow the Egyptians and possibly take over. So he got paranoid. So when the king of Egypt saw the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Sifra and Pua, so he said to the Hebrew midwives, when you help the Hebrew women in childbirth, observe them on the delivery stool. If it is a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do, but they let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live? The midwives answered Pharaoh, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive. So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. Because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. And then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. So he was trying to get rid of all of the young boys so that they wouldn't grow up and become a mighty army that could overtake the Egyptians. So there was a man of the house of Levi, married a Levite woman. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. So how do you hide a baby? Any of you ever figured out how to do that? How do you hide a baby? So she, for 3 months' time, she kept her baby hidden somewhere, don't know where. But she was looking out for this child. She was trying to keep him from being killed. And when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put him among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. So she didn't just set him sail in the Nile where he would go down to the sea. She put him in among the reeds where he would just stay there in his little basket hidden in the reeds. And it took, as I said, it took some faith to do that. I'm not sure I would have let Patsy do that to one of our children. So, anyway, his sister stood, I'm verse 4 now, his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank, and she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby, nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." So that's the story of a woman of faith, a woman who believed God that he would protect her son for her, that he would not Hebrew babies that were born at that time. The second one that I figured out or come up with is in 1 Kings chapter 17, and you all know this story as well. This is the story of the widow from Zarephath. We're going to be looking at 1 Kings 17, starting at verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up. So we're in a time of famine. Elijah had just recently told the king here that God was going to send a famine. There were going to be 3 years of famine with no rain. And it says there in verse 1, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." So unless Elijah said so, it wasn't going to rain. That's basically what he told them. So Elijah's a prophet. He believed God. He did what God told him to do, and this is what God had set out for them. And so he came to, sometime later it says, the brook dried up. So he was fed by ravens at the brook. You know the story of Elijah, how the ravens brought him stuff to eat, and he drank from the brook, and he was there for quite a while, actually. And then sometime later the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So Zarephath, Sidon was just north of the Holy Land, north of Jerusalem along the Mediterranean Sea there. And so Zarephath was close to Sidon. So when he went to Zarephath, when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Imagine having to look that in the face when you get up one morning. Only have enough meal and oil to make one more meal for your child and yourself, and that's going to be it. That's the end of it. So, she said, that's going to be it. So Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." So, she had to believe Elijah. She had to have faith to believe Elijah was telling her the truth, because all he had was enough to make one little cake with the oil and the flour that she had, and she was going to make that and give it away. But Elijah told her that he'd heard from God. He said, he told her there, "As surely as the Lord lives." And so he said, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have, and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son, for the jar of flour will not be used up, the jug of oil will not run dry." And I love verse 15. She went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. So she showed her faith when she went and made the little cake for Elijah and gave him something to eat. And by doing that, God provided what he told her that he would. I would like to just go ahead and finish the chapter, because she had to believe another time here, just a little later on. It says, "Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, 'What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? Give me your son,' Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, 'O Lord my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?' Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, 'O Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him.' The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. And Elijah picked up the child, carried him down from the room into the house, and he gave him to his mother and said, 'Look, your son is alive.' Then the woman said to Elijah, 'Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth.'" So, that's why I'm so thankful for the godly women that you are here at Open Arms, because you've learned to trust the Lord. You've learned that the word of God is the truth. The word of God that comes from our mouths and from the word of God here is the truth. It is only the truth. It's always the truth. It's nothing going to change about it. I want to finish up today in Hebrews, because Hebrews talks, so when we talk about faith, about women of faith, men of faith. It's always, I always go back to Hebrews chapter 10 and 11. And I want to just look at that, because it says faith is being sure of what we can't see. If I can find Hebrews, I'll get to it here in a minute. Hebrews 11. Should have probably just put a mark on it. Oh, yes, there we go. I want to begin back in chapter 10, verse 38. But my righteous one, but the righteous shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And this is what the ancients were commended for. It says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So if you think about that for a minute, think about God's universe, how he created everything. He made it out of nothing. he made it out of what was visible, it says. And the other verse I wanted to show you here in chapter 11 is verse 6. It says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So, to honor you ladies this week, Julie has made up some little, they're Bible markers for you to use in your Bibles. I need somebody to come and take these around and make sure that all the mothers get one of these. Does anybody want to volunteer for that job? Somebody? It's a little heavy, so I don't want a 3-year-old. Thanks, Bo. Let's make sure they all get one of those. So as I was reflecting back, I just need to really tell you a little bit about my mother before we close up today. My mom was a mighty woman of faith. I don't know how many of you knew my mother. Alma was just she was a godly woman. She raised 9 of us children. 5 of us were boys, so you can just suit yourself how you want to figure that out. She had a lot of trials, I'll just put it that way, because 3 of us were close enough in age that what one didn't think of, another one did, and we pretty much did everything we wanted to do. And a lot of times we got spanked for it, because my mom was a disciplinarian. Dad told me a story about how the first time one of us did something we shouldn't have, Mom came to him at the end of the day and told him about it and wanted him to discipline him, and it must have been Bill. Anyway, he said, Alma, he said, you need to take care of that yourself so that they learn to respect you. And so she did do a lot of the disciplining. Not all of it, I'll just grant you that, because Dad could swing a paddle a lot easier better than Mom could, but I can remember getting it from both of them. So we were disciplined in our home, and I thank God for a godly mother. It was awesome to have a woman who loved the Lord to raise us. And we actually had in our home every day family devotions. We all gathered around and Mom and Dad would lead us in a time of time in the Word of God. And normally we sang. My mother was a very good singer. She led music at the Mennonite Church for a lot of years, and she was a very good singer as well. So we always had music in the home as well. Those of you who aren't familiar with the Mennonite Church, ours was non-instrumental, so we were all, it was all voice music. We didn't have an organ or a piano, and I guess you guys didn't at Johnsville either, did you? Yeah, it was, so actually it was at Patsy and I's wedding when the first organ was brought into the church. We rebelled and had to have an organ for our wedding, so it was brought in and then taken out again. We just brought it in for our wedding, so, but it was, so we always, Mom always started music with a pitch pipe. She had a little round black with silver back on it. She would blow into it, and she knew what note to blow so that we could start our songs on the right pitch. And so that was one of the things that I enjoyed as a child and that we learned from was time in at home with family devotions. And so God was good, very good to us. So as you go this week, go as women of faith. Trust the Lord in all you do. And enjoy your day. God bless you. It's good to have godly women.